Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code BALANCE at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code BALANCE. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
I'm John Batchelor with Harry Siegel, my colleague and co-host of The City, an online journal, a New York Daily News columnist, and we're speaking with Professor Joel Kotkin, Presidential Fellow in Urban Futures at Chapman University, Executive Director of the Urban Reform Institute, writing most recently, Will Jews Return to the Ghetto? Harry, you have a question for the professor.
Joel, if this is, as you write, the end in some sense of the Jewish century, in which there's both form of Jewish exceptionalism in the arts and in the sciences, but also a very normative Jewishness in the United States increasingly, and to some extent in Europe. What do you see happening from there, and what do you hope happens from there in terms of the societies, their liberalism, and where Jews fit in to all that?
Well, my optimistic take on it is that both our Jews and our the Gentiles who support a more liberal position vis-a-vis the future of the Jews, that this will be an awakening among people. I think what we're going to see is that people will increasingly understand that they can't adopt sort of blindly progressive politics. I mean, I think of something like the ADL. How long has it been the ADL keeps saying the great danger is white nationalists, white nationalists? Yeah, I think white nationalists are a problem, but they're nothing compared to what's going on with the predominantly the Muslim community. I mean, it's not even close. And I think that there has to be some sort of reassessment. That doesn't necessarily mean that Jews have to become Trumpistas, but I think they're going to have to become more selective, and they're going to have to realize that that adopting whatever the progressive party line is not necessarily in their interest or the interest of their children. There has to be some awakening. Now, whether they're going to go flocking to the right may not happen. I think right now they'll be flocking to the center, and there'll be more acceptance of the right. But I think the big thing is, the optimistic side is that people now know that this cat is out of the bag. Anti-Semitism is not a passing fad, that it's become stronger and it's more pervasive, and it affects your life. I mean, you think about it, would I want, for instance, my daughter or my wife to wear a Star of David or a T-shirt with Hebrew lettering in New York City or Los Angeles? The fact that I would even worry about that is beyond comprehension. It's already the case, by the way, in Europe. In Germany, they even are urging Jews not to wear yarmulkes, if you have to have, wear a baseball cap. I mean, we're sort of like hitting this new inflection point. And the question is, what's going to be the response? And are there going to be enough people in the Gentile community who will stand with us? I think, but more than anything else, I always feel like, you got to know who your friends are and who your enemies are. And it's going to become very clear in the next month or two. I mean, when we send out a petition to the faculty at Chapman, it'll be very interesting to see who signs it and who doesn't.
Professor, you report in your article that a large number, maybe a majority, of people under 35 are ignorant of Gaza Strip, believe that Israel is an occupier of Gaza Strip, that they don't know that Hamas has been brutalizing it since 2007 and before, that Israel left in 2005. They just don't have the facts.
Well, and that's a broader concept. I mean, and as, you know, in the discussion I had with the president at Chapman and with other faculty, the big problem is they come into college knowing nothing. I mean, basically, the education system, K through 12 is pathetic. And particularly when it comes to things like civics and history, it's almost non-existent. They don't even, when you talk about the Holocaust, they don't even know what the Holocaust is. And so I think what happens is these kids go to college, but they don't already have formed ideas about history. I mean, there's, like, I was talking to Sam Abrams, who teaches over at Sarah Lawrence, and he was just saying that now he finds that half of his time teaching political science is teaching basic history, which in my day, and maybe even in Harry's day, was taught in the high schools. It's not taught anymore. So you have these basically unformed people with very, very little knowledge, then being indoctrinated by, you know, what they call scholar activists, which is somewhat of a contradiction in terms. But you know, fundamentally, what you have is you have a group of people who are very naive and very ignorant of anything, of historical facts. I mean, somebody says there's no connection between the Jews and Israel. I don't know. I think there was a book written about that a long time ago. I mean, the notion that Israel is an apartheid state. Talk to somebody from South Africa and see what apartheid meant. Genocide, the word genocide being used in ways that are completely perverse, and ignore the fact that the it's Hamas who has a genocidal agenda. So that's we're going to have to create some sort of alternative institutions. Now, I think on K through 12, that's happening to some extent with the charter and school choice movements. But I also think that we're going to have to do it at the universities. University of Texas, University of Florida are examples of schools that are looking at creating new institutions. The other key driver is, I think, a lot of the big donors don't want to give money anymore to these schools because they now know these schools are incubators for, you know, sort of radical socialism, authoritarian attitudes, and anti-Semitism.
Harry, we have just a couple of minutes. Quick question.
You have some optimism here. What are your concerns about how things could go wrong from here? And do you have any counsel for young people like your daughter, who's up one of these elite institutions, for how they should be navigating this, comporting themselves now, and what they need to be watching out for?
We have one minute, Joel. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, basically, they need to, first of all, you need to look at your own community for support. I mean, I was in West LA and in the Orthodox community, they already have their own security. And I think that's going to be something we're going to have to rely on each other. I think that's going to be really important. And don't back down. Don't back down to these demands. I mean, you can dislike the Israeli government. I don't like it much myself. But you have to say, you have to make a strong stand on who you are, and that you have an obligation to your own ancestry to defend Israel and defend the right of Jewish people to be considered equals and partners in a liberal, you know, pluralistic system. That's all you can do. You have to be able to stand up for yourself and for your people. And I think fundamentally for the principles that the United States is all about.
Joel Kotkin, Presidential Fellow, Urban Futures at Chapman University, Executive Director of the Urban Reform Institute. Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, a columnist, a senior editor at The City and Online Journal. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,